cooking contests, Cajun cooking demonstrations, and Zydeco dance contests. You'll find it all at the famous Brobridge Crawfish Festival, Friday through Sunday, May 5th, 6th, and 7th, Brobridge, Louisiana. Only clear bags allowed. Sponsored by St. Martin Parish Tourism, Hancock Whitney, Community Honda, Super One Foods, Courtesy Automotive, Louisiana Lottery, Academy, and M&M Oil Tools. More info at bbcropfest.com.
The views and opinions expressed during this show are those of the hosts and guests only. In no way do they represent the views, positions, or opinions expressed or implied of WGSO 990 AM or North Shore Radio, LLC.
Welcome to William Wallace for America. It's your time to speak out about the things that make America the greatest country on earth. And also find things in our country that we can unite on. Your host is William Wallace. William welcomes your positive solutions and questions by calling 504-556-9696. And now your host, William Wallace.
Good afternoon, everybody. And thank you so much for tuning into my show this afternoon. I'm William Wallace for America here on WGSO 990 AM. You're going to hear a lot of different noises, different sounds over the next few minutes, because I'm doing my show live from the Capitol in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And, you know, I've got a lot of notes from today that I think are going to be some things that you want to hear about. You know, it's not just what's going on at the Capitol, but I'm going to get into some things that maybe others don't really talk about too much. And, yeah, we'll blend in some of the narratives and such like that. It'll seem like it anyway. But, We're about in the middle, maybe not dead center, but halfway through the session so far. And I gotta tell you something, guys, it's exhausting. You know, we need more and more people to get involved in not only our community and our state and our country. And I always say the best way to do it is get involved in your community, your state first. But the reality is, it is exhausting when the groups that are up here. And there's all kinds of groups. I mean, there's groups on all sides of the aisle, all kinds of different opinions, all kinds of different beliefs. And you'll find in some groups where you have friends in different groups with different opinions, fighting for different issues. And then you sit through the committee meetings to hear the actual bill. And I mean, it's exhausting. It is no wonder why our states and our countries are having so much problem. And one of the things that you'll hear me commenting on a little bit today is about the budget. I'm not a budget guy. I mean, I'm a budget guy. I know all about the budget. And I can understand it and everything like that. But there's a lot to it that I'm going to be covering over the next couple of weeks as the budget starts to, different things start to come out. But what I'm really good at, and I'm going to do today, is I'm going to talk about just kind of give you an overview of the budget, of what they're doing. And when I mean overview, it's as simple as this. Right now, this year, we're going to have a surplus. Next year, they're going to have a little bit more of a surplus. But the following year, they're going to have no surplus. Matter of fact, the following year, there's going to be a deficit going on here. Oops, yeah, there we go. There's going to be a deficit going on in 2 years. And they're arguing right now in this session about the money, about are we going to spend it all this year? Are they going to spend it? Are they going to say, hey, now that we got here, what's a little bit different? I just switched over to a different microphone here. Now they're arguing about, well, are we going to spend it all right now and have no money? Or are we going to spend it on recurring expenses? Meaning, hey, while we got a little bit extra, why don't we make the excuse that now is the time to give pay raises or to add things to the budget that's going to be recurring, which in 2 years when we have a deficit is going to make it a heck of a lot worse. It's just going to make the whole thing, our whole budget, a lot worse. But it's amazing to me that they're only thinking about today. They're creating the budget like this budget is only today. Nope, not going to be tomorrow. We're going to have an extra $1 billion. It's, you know, of course, it's all these different estimates on how much we have. Is it a billion? Is it 2 billion? What's it going to be after they do the final numbers? And who knows the final numbers? But the problem is that they're not treating it as if it's going to be the deficit, simple way to put it. They're treating it as if it's going to be like it is this year. It's always going to be a surplus. And it's not, because not only is it not always going to be a surplus, they know this. They have it on, they can see it. They can look at the projections for the next couple of years, and they can see the money going down over the next couple of years. They can see the money going away, but they are still arguing about making some of their expenses or some of their the money they're going to spend in that to be recurring expenses, adding it as in a permanent way. And I don't understand it, because you would think, and I know as well as you do, when these guys run for office, everybody's running on, oh, we're going to be good with your tax dollars. We're going to, you know, we're going to, you know, fight crime, do this. But yet they're going to get up here. And I'm not talking about all of them. I'm going to tell you, we got some good ones. Okay, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about all of them. And I'm certainly not really pointing out any individuals. It really is more of a collective thing. It's just a matter of how big the group gets. And here's what I mean by that. You'll get everybody wants to spend, you know, they'll all run on not spending more money than what we have. It's hard to simplify it into short, sweet bullet points because it is so complicated. And so when I kind of pause or stammer a little bit, it's just because I'm just trying to make it oversimplify it. So what's happening is a lot of these guys run on fiscal responsibility and doing the right thing with our tax dollars. Yet there's many that get here and they go, wow, we're bringing all this money. I can finally get that bridge fixed next to my church. I can get this road down here fixed that goes to the school where my kids went, and everybody all of a sudden thinks they see their little projects and they go, well, it's just a million, or it's just $100,000, or it's just a little this, a little that. The problem is collectively all of these projects add up, but everybody still fights for their little tiny piece of the pie. That's one thing going on. The other thing that I see going on is that they get up here and there's a big group right now, the Freedom Caucus and the Conservative Caucus, two different ones that are being frugal with our money. Or they're doing their best. They're fighting hard for it. Okay. But there's other groups that say, hey, but if we pass this bill, which is conservative, this little bit of money goes here. It's, you know, I hate to use the term, there's more than one way to skin a cat. But there's a heck of a lot more ways to spend the money. And that's exactly what one of the biggest fights is up here, is what's the best way to spend the money. And we got it, so why not spend it? We got this money, so it's just like having a home budget. You get a little extra money, you go, hey, now it's time to paint the walls, change the flooring, add the patio cover, whatever, you know. It's all those extra little things that you go, wow. But then, you know, you're not looking out past the years to come, where when it gets bad, you wish you would have that extra money. So I've oversimplified it. I've kind of beat the dead horse or the dead cat after it's been skinned a couple of different ways, however you want to look at it. But that is one of the arguments that's going on up here at the Capitol on a daily basis. And of course, the individual groups like the group that wants for education, all the education groups, you know, they're, hey, wink, wink, what about me over here? You know, if my teachers had a pay raise, we could do this. And then there's the group that's fighting for whatever their issue is. And everybody's tugging. The lobbyists are tugging, the individual groups that come up here as a, you know, whether they're 10 or 20 or 50 people and they wear the same color shirts, and they all come here up here to fight for their issue. They're tugging on the legislators, and these guys are pulled a thousand different ways. So when I tell you that they run their race, their political campaign, to be able to fight for our freedoms and fight for fiscal responsibility, we're going to have more. We're going to finish this thought after the break here on WGSO 990 AM. Wow.
Jenna McCaffrey is a personal injury attorney, not a billboard attorney. With Jenna McCaffrey, it's not business, it's personal. She recognizes that when you have had an accident, you don't need promises. You need personal service, good advice, and someone that takes your situation personally and offers a level of service that makes you feel like your needs were met and not like you had to take a number hoping you will be made whole again. Her number is 504-837-1234. And remember, it's not business, it's personal.
I love MyPillow products, and I love that Mike Lindell is so passionate about his products and America. I use the pillows and the slippers and enjoy them so much, I'm placing orders on more of his products using the promo code WWFA at MyPillow.com to get big discounts on any of their products, and you will see what the rest of America loves about the products you can find at MyPillow.com using the promo code WWFA. Why buy new when you can renew? Check out Piazza's Top Gun Coatings in Harahan, Louisiana. They can take that tired old patio furniture, railings, rims, and almost anything made of metal and make it look new again. They do powder and ceramic coating and dustless media blasting to clean it. Please visit Piazza's Top Gun Coatings website at topguncoatings.net or call them at 504-667-3626.
Trayvon Cajun Meats and Barbecue serves barbecue and an experience. The meats are incredible, specials are fantastic, and dining there will make you feel like you are going down memory lane. You probably won't get to meet the owner, because he's usually in the back cooking and preparing everything fresh for himself. Dine in, take out, and check out the prepared items to take home, or stock up on the sauces and rubs that Trey Boss has ready for you to prepare your own barbecue. Find them in River Ridge or on Facebook at Trayvon Cajun Meats, where they post a lot of funny stuff.
Hey, it's Kevin Carr with your personal sneak preview invitation to join me on Sunday evening from 8 to 9 for Fat Guys at the Movies. Each week, I give you my take on the newest movies and movie news, but in a fun way. Not like those stuffy movie review snobs who take themselves way too seriously. I tell you if the new movies rock or not. Yes, it's fun for all ages with Fat Guys at the Movies. I'll see you Sunday evening at 8 on WGSO 990 AM.
When the time came, I knew I had to find a place where Mom would be safe and active while still feeling independent. A place that was close to all of us and everything she needed. Locally owned and operated in the heart of Gonzales, I found Francois Ben Senior Living. They specialize in independent and assisted living and memory care.
Call 225-647-BEND for more information on our special pre-leasing offers.
Francois Ben Senior Living. Experience life as it should be.
We are back here for William Wallace for America. All right, so guys, you hear me from the Capitol today, which is why you hear a little static. I've got my travel equipment with me. And so what happened, I've been telling you about the budget. We talked about that a little bit. And I was telling you that You know, I'm not criticizing any individual elected officials. I really think that most of them really want to do the right thing when they get up here. But there's that collective thing going on. That's the picture I was painting, that, you know, they're, once they get together and they're trying to form their own coalitions, or they're seeing the budget and they're seeing how much money is in it, they're going, wow, there's all this money coming in. And then they start connecting the dots. That's the other thing that you'll hear me talk about in a minute, when they start going, oh, wow, let's see if that gets passed and that money's coming in, here's some federal money, here's some state money. Oh, if this bill passes, we're going to get some extra Medicaid money. And, you know, well, it's all going to be great and wonderful. Well, and then the groups start coming in, and then the lobbyists start coming in. And no, I can tell you firsthand, I know when you hear lobbyists, oh, yeah, well, lobbyists are paying them off. Not at all. I can tell you, I see hundreds and hundreds of conversations between lobbyists and politicians, and ain't none of that going on. You know, these guys are simply, you know, a lot of them are educating and informing. And I think it's actually quite interesting, because sometimes I'm allowed to sit into these conversations, and they really are working really hard to be able to inform. It's the vote the right way, or the way they like them to vote. But when it comes down to it, they're really doing a lot of informing. It's really interesting. I love talking to some of the lobbyists and the activist group, for that matter, because when you hear the information that they have and that they're privy to, or that they've been able to research, I got to tell you, it is really informative, especially when you start realizing how much it affects the process and the things going on in our state. Another issue that I'm going to talk about, I sat in on two committees today, and there was, one committee was for the environment. I'll make it simple. The other committee is for health and welfare. And in the one committee, they were talking about carbon capture. And speaking of the individual groups, there was a group there from Lake Maurepar, and they had a couple handfuls of them out there. And let me tell you something. The guys that live in Lake Maurepar, it's a small population. That, my friends, is why I think they picked Lake Maurepar to pump all that carbon capture underneath, because there's not enough people living there to truly fight it and make a difference. But my question is, doesn't carbon, the whole CO2 thing, that feeds our trees? Like, our trees eat that up and make oxygen, yet we're going to play creator and pump it under the ground. Because and get this, for once, I'm always telling you, I'm looking for ways to bring people together. And here's something that's odd. You've got Democrats, who are usually the environmentalists, right, that are for this bill, even though environmentally, you know, they're having all these results that show you how bad it is. Of course, you hear both sides. Don't get me wrong. There's two sides of the story. And Republicans, who are usually thought of as being the anti-environmentalists, most of them are, well, actually, it's a whole split. Most of them, I got this wrong, I'm sorry. You got the carbon capture thing going on, which has been painted to be environmentally friendly, when there's proof that it's not. There's proof, well, again, but depends on what group that you listen to. You got the group that says, oh, it's completely safe. Yet, by the way, I know I'm going off on a different tangent here because I just thought of this. When a representative in the committee was asking the question, what happens if this carbon leaks out from where they're pumping it underneath? And the person that was advocating, notice I'm purposely and intentionally leaving out names, especially names of groups. You can research it and find out. I'm just trying to give you the gist of it. So the group that was for the carbon capture and for pumping underneath, they couldn't give a straight answer. They kept saying, well, we got monitors, so if it does, if there are leaks, we're going to see it. They kept dancing around it, but the representative kept pushing them. Well, you still haven't answered my question. What happens? Well, not only could they not answer it, but they came out with a little funny thing. They said, well, do you know about soda water, about Perrier carbonated water? Well, if it leaks into the lake, you'll get Perrier, which is completely false, totally inaccurate. So where usually you would think that the Republicans are against the environment, here they are fighting for the environment by being against the carbon capture. Because while it all sounds safe by many people, and it all sounds like we've got to get the carbon out of the air, the trees do that. But here's the problem with government. Government always likes to play creator. They love, of course, you know, we dam up our rivers. I've talked about this before. You know, we get a government agency that says, oh, we're going to dam up the rivers and we're going to stop the flooding in neighborhoods. And then somebody else's neighborhood floods. Or now we got coastal erosion because our coast is not being replenished with the sediment that our rivers used to dump all over the coast, because now we got levees. Of course, we need the levees, right, to keep from flooding. Well, that's government's creation. Government loves to solve problems, because if they're not solving problems, they're not getting your tax dollars. And if they're not getting your tax dollars, they don't get to keep their phony baloney jobs. And what happens is government gets involved. Well, we're going to create a little diversion project here. We're going to create a little, you know, storm drainage here at Baton Rouge. They tax you like crazy for years to stop the flooding, never stop the flooding. And then what we have a bunch of years ago, we had all that major flooding from just some rain. And everybody likes to blame, you know, then they point the fingers at the narrative. Oh, that's because of global warming. Well, because of global warming, we need to tax you a little bit more to build some more levees. And meanwhile, they're doing this. These developers want to develop this, all this property over here. We got this property. We're going to let them build on it, because then it's going to create more tax revenue to give us more money to spend on pet projects, on playgrounds. Get your splash park here. We're going to pave these roads. We're going to make it a little bit wider. Yes, I get it. We need government to build our roads and bridges and for our defense. I get it. But all too often, the line gets crossed from the necessities of roads and bridges to parks. And I get it. It's beautification. Don't get me wrong. I sound like I really don't like it. I get the good intention, and I get the reason for it, to beautify our neighborhoods. But the problem is, it always goes way beyond that. Our roads and bridges aren't perfect. We can look at examples all over the place of our tax dollars not getting spent wisely, but we got a splash park.
30 seconds.
We got a splash park everywhere, right? Of course, insert in the blank of splash park here what you get. But my point is, going back to where I got off track with the carbon capture thing, is our government needs to create a need for it. Like levees, like drains. And yes, we can be in the world that we're in right now, today, and say, well, we need the Mississippi levee, or we'd have flooding. All these neighborhoods around the levee would be flooded if we didn't have the levee. Well, go back to when it was created, before the levees were there. Well, you might say, well, we had swamp and it flooded. Well, I tell you, I did a plantation tour many years ago, And I backed up this.
Host of Ringside Politics, I'd like to introduce WGSO General Manager Mary Ann Guzman.
WGSO is locally owned and operated right here in New Orleans. We believe in cultivating local talent and emphasize local programs. If you have an interest in hosting your own program, then we have some prime spots available.
Thanks, Mary Ann. Folks, take advantage of this great offer. Email me at jeff@wgso.com or call me at 504-669-6076. Come fulfill your radio dreams at WGSO.
Louisiana Radio Network News, I'm Kevin Gallagher. A police officer was shot when gunfire erupted this morning at a gas station in Bossier City.
Bossier City Police spokesperson Lewis Johnson says the incident happened at a gas station along Interstate 20 on Industrial Drive.
And approximately around 10:30 this morning, the Bossier City Police Department responded to a call of shot fired at the Valero station.
Johnson says a man coming out of the gas station shot a responding officer.
And we're proud to report that he is presently in stable condition.
Several others were also injured and were waiting on more information to be released. I'm Brooke Thorington.
A 16-year-old was killed and two others shot and wounded last night in Natchitoches. NPD's Corporal John Greeley says they got several calls just after 8 p.m.
Upon their arrival, they located a vehicle that had crashed into a tree, and unfortunately, they located a 16-year-old gunshot victim.
Two teenage victims were also shot and wounded. They were found a couple of blocks away. Greeley asks anyone with any tips on the crime to please come forward. This is news from LRN.
It's the first day of the first grade, and she found a new best friend. It's a laid-back Sunday afternoon you wish would never end.
The homemade taste of Bluebell and good friends gathered round. The good old days are being made right now.
Have you noticed that most ice creams now come in smaller cartons? Not Bluebell. We're still making a full half gallon and a full pint of tasty goodness. Bluebell wouldn't have it any other way.
The good old days are being made right now.
The good old days are being made right now.
Look for Bluebell ice cream at your local grocer and pick up your favorite flavor today.
There is a restaurant on the West Bank side of Jefferson Parish called Signet Landing, and it is a true gem for Louisiana-style dining for lunch or dinner. And their back porch overlooks a bayou with the boats of fishermen and shrimpers, so you know their seafood is fresh. So imagine having a meal at Signet Landing, and you won't be disappointed while the sun sets behind the boating community there at Signet Landing, and tell them William Wallace sent you.
Trayvon Cajun Meats and Barbecue serves barbecue and an experience. The meats are incredible, specials are fantastic, and dining there will make you feel like you are going down memory lane. You probably won't get to meet the owner, because he's usually in the back cooking and preparing everything fresh for himself. Dine in, take out, and check out the prepared items to take home, or stock up on the sauces and rubs that Trayvon has ready for you to prepare your own barbecue. Find them in River Ridge or on Facebook at Trayvon Cajun Meats, where they post a lot of funny stuff.
In the winter, you don't want to think about gardening too much, but there is one place you need to remember in the fall, and that's Double M Feed Garden and Pet Supplies on Jefferson Highway in Harahan. They have fall bedding and everything you need to winterize your yard. Catch them now so your yard doesn't look ugly all winter. And they have seasonal colored flowers, and they will have high quality Christmas trees and poinsettias. Remember, that's Double M Feed in Harahan.
At Augie's in Harahan, you can reminisce about places like the Windjammer, Sal and Sam's, Smiley's, Augie's on Veterans, and Augie's Glass Garden, because Augie's talent for food was blended into all of them, and you can still experience them at his restaurant on Jefferson Highway in the Elmwood Business Park in Harahan. Augie's has a room for parties, receptions, and other events. Go visit Augie's for lunch or dinner, and tell them William Wallace sent you.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to William Wallace for America. So, let's see. We were talking about, we're going to carbon capture and Lake Maurepar and the government and levees and all that stuff where they create needs for themselves, you know. And while they're you know, creating the needs themselves and the levees and the drainage projects, because, you know, they've allowed this subdivision to build there because they get more tax revenue, you know, when there's more homes and more people living in the area, and they let that shopping center get built. And I get it. I understand urban planning. I'm not criticizing that, but more concrete equals less drainage, less water absorption. And then what happens after that? You get more flooding, and then they blame global warming, and then they tax you for it. It's a vicious cycle caused by government. I did a plantation tour many years ago, and I've backed up this information with a lot of people. I'll tell you the quick story. The plantation, they told me the story that they used to build them up high because they're on the river. Is before they had levees, they were required at one point in time to have a little 4-foot levee, you know, which kind of controlled a little bit of fluctuations, but they knew every spring it would flood. Well, the levee would be low enough to allow all of that flood water to come in certain times of the year, wouldn't flood their homes. They're all built up high. And then it would drop all that good sediment. So when the water went back out, the levees kind of kept all that good fertile soil back in. That's how they kept their soil so fertile, just like it had been for hundreds of years. Well, when you look and you go, well, we can't have that when we flood. Well, keep in mind, for what, 1,000 miles up the river, they didn't have any levees on any part of the levee or the river. So when it overflowed, and I'm exaggerating a little bit, it was distributed evenly, so you never got these really high flood areas. It was like just high enough to deposit some soil, be a nuisance for, you know, the spring when it got high and would go down. And they had it under control with that. Well, we dam up the levees, we have coastal erosion, and then when we get an area that floods, anyway, I can go in a lot of directions with that. But the problem is government. When it grows, it creates a need for itself. It becomes a necessity. And then it's just a vicious cycle. Like what's happening with the carbon capture, where now the oil companies are getting paid for it. You've got Republicans, some Republicans for it, some against it, some Democrats for it. It's really all over. It's going to be an interesting bill when it hits the final house, because it's such an even split almost on Republicans and Democrats. And yes, to sum it up, the Republicans are being more environmental minded on this one. The Democrats are being more money oriented on this. If you can believe that, you can, or if you don't believe it, you can come to the legislature and find out about it for yourself. But what I don't like I said, is we have no idea. Of course, they're going to tell you it's safe, but I'm getting ready to do an interview and a podcast with the people that are out there at Lake Maurepas who are going to discuss what they know. These guys are very smart. They're diving into it, and they're going to have a lot of really good information that will come out. The other hot topic that I sat in on today for a couple of hours, actually, which in some ways was just kind of, I thought was a waste of my time, because a lot of these kept getting repeated. But there's a bill by Gabe Furman. It passed out of House committee today. And it was I'm going to make it very simple. The bill was preventing or making it illegal to allow or to have anything to do with, as parents and doctors could not do anything to transition their trans child, person, human, however they would put it. There's arguments on that, by the way. Could not transition their child to the opposite sex before the age of 18. And, you know, I didn't know that was really a thing until I heard the testimony. And let me tell you something. There was a parent in there that testified that she knew that her 18-month-old child was trans. And that's why she was that's why she allowed him to transition. It was later. It wasn't when he was 18 months old. But when you listen to the rules, the regulations, the American Medical Society's information, they're not only allowing it, they're considering it a good thing. I'm sorry. I look, let me tell you something. I'm all about freedom and liberty. I get it. Freedom, liberty, do your thing. You want to be the opposite sex? Great. Go for it after you're 18. Before that, because look, we stop children before 18 years old from buying porn, buying alcohol, buying tobacco. We stop them. They can't go into strip clubs. There's a lot of things with an 18-year-old limit on it. Why don't we? And it's amazing that essentially all this bill is doing is saying, look, no one under 18 years old can have this done to them. Doctors can't do it. Parents can't do it. It sounds like a good thing to me. I get it. I heard the testimony. It's why I sat in there for hours listening to people who have transitioned, and some you can tell, some you can't tell, most you can tell there was a transition going on. And I don't mean that negatively. I simply mean it was obvious because they're in the process. Okay. Most of them were over 18 years old, but they were fighting for it to be able to happen before they're 18 years old. I believe we need to protect children before they're 18. After that, look, I'm that freedom, liberty guy. I get it. You want to do that? Go do it. But let's protect our children. Before the age of 18, they're going through puberty, which is one of the things that one of the reps brought up. He's like, look, you know, before puberty, teenagers have a difficult time. They go through these changes. Before that, before they go through puberty, their life, their body's adjusting. Certainly while they're going through puberty, it makes common physical sense, if you will. But a parent, and I'm not trying to take parent rights away, which is another of the arguments you're saying that the Republicans are trying to take away parental rights. Wasn't about parental rights at all. They're not trying to take away parental rights, but the reality is, in my opinion, when you, as a parent, allow your child to physically alter their body while you're still in control of it, I have to ask the question, is that because you really think that they need to? Or, and I know the answer to be no to this question, I already know what their answer would be, because I heard probably 50 testimonials today. Or is it because the narrative in our media, the news stories, societal pressure has caused us all to feel like if you can think it, it's true. And because there's so many narratives that back it up, does it become something that you really believe? And they're going to say yes. And I get it. But once again, I'm that freedom liberty guy. Look, after you're 18 years old, go do you. Do what you want to do, whatever. It's not up to me, but before a child's 18, and it's sad that we even need laws to say we need to protect our youth. An 18 years old is something that's probably been more of a legal age in our modern history, I'll say. But the reality is it kind of fits in line with people's brain development, we'll say. So I'm not for taking away parental rights, but I'm certainly saying that when it comes to physical alterations, you certainly need to protect the children. And again, is it their narratives, the narratives, societal narratives? I mean, it's heavy right now. They've really made it to where if you don't believe in something that the narrative is putting out there, you're the hateful person. Has it gotten to a point where we've allowed the narratives and our own government to control how we parent? Has it gotten to a point where we're allowing the news stories and government regulations? And I get it, you know, protecting children from 18 can be considered a government regulation, but the difference is your physical being or the child's physical being is not the narrative. There are quotes they brought up today from the American Medical Society, and I'd be interested in hearing, digging more into that. But my question to you before we go to break is, who's playing God here? Or mad scientists? Because they're saying that a lot of the hospitals and medical and health policies are allowing this. Is it creating another product, another thing to do, another medical charge? Or is it that is it a fine line between what we believe or what is really true, or playing God? Because we're born with a gender, but our...
is a personal injury attorney, not a billboard attorney. With Jana McCaffrey, it's not business, it's personal. She recognizes that when you have had an accident, you don't need promises. You need personal service, good advice, and someone that takes your situation personally and offers a level of service that makes you feel like your needs were met and not like you had to take a number hoping you will be made whole again. Her number is 504-837-1234. And remember, it's not business, it's personal.
I love MyPillow products, and I love that Mike Lindell is so passionate about his products and America. I use the pillows and the slippers and enjoy them so much, I'm placing orders on more of his products using the promo code WWFA at MyPillow.com to get big discounts on any of their products, and you will see what the rest of America loves about the products you can find at MyPillow.com using the promo code WWFA. There is a restaurant on the West Bank side of Jefferson Parish called Signet Landing, and it is a true gem for Louisiana-style dining for lunch or dinner. And their back porch overlooks a bayou with the boats of fishermen and shrimpers, so you know their seafood is fresh. So imagine having a meal at Signet Landing, and you won't be disappointed while the sun sets behind the boating community there at Signet Landing, and tell them William Wallace sent you. When you think of a hotel, you think of someplace you stay when you are away from home. But here in New Orleans, there is a hotel you will want your out-of-town guest to stay at, and you will want to do a staycation there. And the name is Park View Historic Hotel. They are on St. Charles Avenue, overlooking the streetcar line and Audubon Park. Great views on all sides of the Park View Historic Hotel. A historic home with antiques from days gone by with a beautiful history will make any stay at the Park View Historic Hotel a unique experience. Why buy new when you can renew? Check out Piazza's Top Gun Coatings in Harahan, Louisiana. They can take that tired old patio furniture, railings, rims, and almost anything made of metal and make it look new again. They do powder and ceramic coating and dustless media blasting to clean it. Please visit Piazza's Top Gun Coatings website at topguncoatings.net or call them at 504-667-3626. In the winter, you don't want to think about gardening too much, but there is one place you need to remember in the fall, and that's Double M Feed Garden and Pet Supplies on Jefferson Highway in Harahan. They have fall bedding and everything you need to winterize your yard. Catch them now so your yard doesn't look ugly all winter. And they have seasonal colored flowers, and they will have high quality Christmas trees and poinsettias. Remember, that's Double M Feed in Harahan.
All my friends are searching, quiet as
for America. And welcome back to my show here on WGSO. So my question when I finished up was, who's playing God? And I know that's a pretty strong statement, and I get it, and it sounds religious, But what's interesting is a lot of the people that got up there to testify against this bill who are transgender, they would bring up, they would invoke God or their God, but then they would say that the people that are voting for this, the legislators that either wrote this bill or supporting this bill or going to pass this bill, were playing God, or that they were religious zealots, you know, using Christianity to keep it. It was really an interesting dynamic. But they, of course, they like to say that, what I like to say is, so who's playing God? And I'm not trying to invoke Christian beliefs or any religion or whatever, but the reality is, I believe our Creator does not make mistakes. I mean, you look around us, we might have an imperfect world in some ways, and the ways that it's imperfect is when the humanity part of it, that's it. Our world, when it comes to humanity, we have an imperfect world because humans are imperfect in their actions, and the way they run things are imperfect. The way they live their lives are imperfect. That is an imperfect part of our world. But our creation is perfect. I mean, you look at the trees sucking up the carbon and spitting out oxygen for humans, and you look at the things that we've devised over our creation, and God did not make mistakes. And so another legislator brought up, he says, look, I hear when young people want to be trans, it's usually young, that you immediately after counseling go to hormone treatments and surgeries to transition them. Why not, if a male, and this is from another legislator, if a male says he thinks he might be a female, instead of giving him what estrogen or giving more testosterone, do the treatment as a male to make sure. And then when it comes to the hospitals and medical policies, because the people supported there for trans rights that were against the bill kept bringing up all the insurance policies and the AMA and the pediatric whatever, said, oh, they're in support of this type of, they're in support of young people being able to transition properly. I had to think, who's playing God here? I mean, who is really interjecting? Is it because of a narrative? Is it because of the money? Because I'm going to tell you, money's got something to do with it. Because another state rep said, and I'll quote, I'll give you the gist of it. His quote was, or his saying was, look, I understand that if we pass a bill like this and don't allow certain operations or transitioning, we're going to lose some federal money. What's more important, the money or the child? So these are the things that kind of come out as we're listening in there. So again, then the comment was made from one representative that there's a lot of people who transition that regret it. But then the opposite side flips it. So it all depends where you get your study from. But there's a Facebook group that this representative pointed to with like 40,000 people saying they regretted it. Are that many people transitioning or regretting their transitioning? And again, who's paying for this? If there's federal money for it, that's your tax dollars. Is it being done through Medicaid? Is it being done through health insurance companies? Ultimately, you're paying for it. And how does this affect our society? Is it a positive effect that we're allowing people to be who they are? I think when it's under 18 and it's becoming more of a group choice where parents and kids are involved, you know what, that might not be the greatest example, but again, it's more about the gist of this. Not that I can't point to any particular facts, but because the overall aspect was that there are parents there, as I said earlier, about allowing their children, because the bill was under about protecting under 18, and the chairman of this committee made sure that stayed on point because they kept going off track. Is a 30-year-old that would transition or the 40-year-old that transitioned. It really pertained to more about kids. And I think when the question is who's paying for this, shouldn't matter. Should be about the child. Because we're all ultimately paying for it one way or the other when you look at the mental health aspect of it. I'm not saying that all trans people or any trans people have a mental health issue. But what I am saying is, let's say they don't. It's affecting the families. It's affecting the people around them. It is certainly affecting our society because the pressure to allow children under 18 to be physically altered by doctors or parents are putting pressure on the rest of society because if you don't agree with it, that's because you're a hateful bigot. You hate trans people. You hate gay people. You're homophobic. So there's a huge mental health issue surrounding this. And I think this bill takes care of the problem. Hey, make it 18 like they're trying to do. And you know what? After 18, that person is a legal adult. Let them do what the heck they want to do. And it's that simple. But like I said, another representative made a great point. Said, hey, look, why don't we give them therapy and treatment with the hormones, with more of the hormones they were born with, and then give them until they're 18 and then let them decide on their own. There's a psychologist and a therapist there. There are parents there and activists that were very passionate and all had individual stories, some of them that were very remarkable stories to prove and make their point from their own experiences, stories of friends that had committed suicide because they weren't allowed. But then again, the opposite was true because there were representatives that made the point that there were so many people that had transitioned that committed suicide afterwards. And that's the point that I'm making here. The bill should be about kids, not about money. And look, let's all talk about freedom and liberty. I am all for freedom and liberty. But you know what? Let's all let them be adults before we force our beliefs on them and let them do what they want to do after 18. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. I got more videos on my sites at William Wallace for America, YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, my podcast. Catch a lot of interviews I'm doing with a lot of reps. Talk about what's happening at the Capitol. See it at William Wallace for America. All right, everybody, take it easy now.
There is a restaurant on the West Bank side of Jefferson Parish called Signet Landing, and it is a true gem for Louisiana-style dining for lunch or dinner. And their back porch overlooks a bayou with the boats of fishermen and shrimpers, so you know their seafood is fresh. So imagine having a meal at Signet Landing, and you won't be disappointed while the sun sets behind the boating community there at Signet Landing, and tell them William Wallace sent you. When you think of a hotel, you think of someplace you stay when you are away from home. But here in New Orleans, there is a hotel you will want your out-of-town guest to stay at, and you will want to do a staycation there. And the name is Park View Historic Hotel. They are on St. Charles Avenue, overlooking the streetcar line and Audubon Park. Great views on all sides of the Park View Historic Hotel. A historic home with antiques from days gone by with a beautiful history will make any stay at the Park View Historic Hotel a unique experience.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney from America Tonight. The show kicks on at midnight, and I'm loving the overwhelming support in New Orleans. What a group of fantastic listeners here on WGSO 990 AM. Join me every morning to catch up on what I call the buzz in your backyard and mine. You'll hear some of the most interesting people on the planet from the world of business, politics, sports, and, well, just intriguing people with a story to tell. If you're around, give us a call. Don't worry, I'll spit out the number plenty of times on the air. Let's agree to meet at midnight right here on WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans.
Hey, Mimi, we're moving.
Moving to Wednesdays at 5.
You can check out He Said, She Said on a new day.
Hump day.
A new day, but we'll still be discussing and debating the hot topics.
And take your phone call.
You can listen to us on 990 AM WGSO, WGSO.com.
And find out who's right. Of course, that's me.
No, of course, that's me. I've been doing this 23 years, Mimi.
Practice makes perfect.
So you see, we'll have plenty to talk about on He Said, She Said.
Wednesdays at 5.
Right here on WGSO.
Anytime, anywhere. Smartphone, tune in radio app, WGSO.com. On the AM dial at 990, we are WGSO New Orleans.